This portion of the show is brought to you by Kim Dawson at Noble Home Loans. Let's get right to it.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome everyone. Hey, thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today from beautiful Camp Verde. Got down here this morning, be here for the rest of the week. And I've got a lot of news to get you caught up on, a lot of late-breaking things that are happening, especially down at the Arizona State Legislature regarding the abortion issue. I'll get to that in just a minute, but there was big action today in the Arizona House of Representatives on the repeal of Arizona's abortion ban, and it'll be heading over to the Senate here in the next week or so. I've got some inside information. I've talked to a couple of my sources down at the legislature as to where this might be going, and also details on what happened in the Arizona legislature, specifically the Arizona House of Representatives. I want to get to that. I also have to break down yesterday's vote in the U.S. Senate on the funding for, you know, everybody else but you and everybody else's border, but our border here in America. The Senate voted to send, $95 billion over to Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel. And then there was another portion of this bill, which is going to ban or force TikTok to sell, the Chinese-owned company, to sell their share or their stake in TikTok here within a certain amount of months. So we'll hit on that. And I think that was heading over to Biden's desk, or maybe it already did. He's, of course, going to sign it, and then they're going to wrap up the money, you know, just like they did with Iran years ago. Remember, we were friends with them for a while and then sent them boxes and crates of money. Now we're sending boxes and bags and crates of money over to Ukraine so Zelensky and the gang can put it in their offshore accounts, at least do a good skim, like, you know, like good mobsters. Anyway, so that's happening. And while our country, you know, these are not serious leaders that we have, because they don't fully understand or don't give a dang to understand the condition, the financial state of America, the amount of debt, what's going on with inflation, everything that's going on in our economy. They either don't have a grasp, which is very possible, because I don't think we have a majority of intelligent people there in DC, or they just don't care. It could be a combination of both too. I don't know. Both are dangerous things. But yeah, a bunch of money going over there. So hit on that and stick around, because I do have Angela and Olivia. They're up in Flagstaff, and they're going to be firing up the studio here in the latter part of the second hour and bringing you a couple of stories and issues they've been working on, too. I'll hand it over to them towards the second half of the second hour of the program. So don't leave. Stick around for them and send us any email comments you got. We've got a few lined up already. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. That's TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. Before we get to any of that, though, I do want to remind you about WT Wealth Management. If you're looking for somebody to talk to when it comes to your finances and bounce some ideas off of, and you've heard Glenn Least here on this program many, many times, and he's not bashful to say where he lies as far as what's going on in our country, and also to give it to you straight. That's why he comes on the show a couple times a month. Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management can review your portfolio, sit down with you, talk about your time horizons, talk about, you know, what your risk tolerance is, things like that, and then review it every so often. I try to talk to Glenn on, you know, what's going on with my portfolio, because I do have some stuff with him, you know, a couple times a year at least. Anyway, call Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. Get a free complimentary, no obligation consultation with Glenn at 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at 928-225-2474. Okay, let's hit on the abortion issue first. And I do have a clip with Senator Wendy Rogers coming up, because she hit on this really good last week and really broke it down. So what happened down at the Arizona legislature just a little while ago is the House of Representatives, which is made up of a majority of Republicans, but it's very close. It's 31 to 29, 31 Republicans to 29 Democrats in the 60-body seat, right? Or House, I should say. They voted 32 to 28 to repeal Arizona's near total abortion ban, which is set to go into effect here real quick. I've told you a story many times, but if you haven't been listening for a while, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled that the law that's been on the books to ban abortion in Arizona, full abortion ban, with the exception of the health and safety of the mother, this law is the law of the land, and it's going to go back into effect. They gave it 2 weeks here, just nearly 2 weeks ago when they ruled on that. It was a 4-2 decision. Obviously, this comes after Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Dobbs case and turned it back to the states. Arizona has had a 15-week abortion ban in place that the legislature put in anticipation of Roe v. Wade going away. That's been in place since 2022. The 1864 law has been in place, since 1864. It never went away. They never repealed it. In fact, they actually renewed it and did some modifications on it. And I've got a email here from Speaker of the House, Ben Thoma. It was actually redone a couple times in modern history. So this idea that this is some archaic thing from the Civil War is not true. It's been tweaked with and changed and reaffirmed over the years, even by Democrats. And wait till I get to that. Anyway, the Arizona House of Representatives voted 32-28. Bunch of speeches, bunch of, stuff going on. Some Republicans were describing the, detail of the abortion process, as they argued for no. Obviously, almost every Republican held firm and said, no, we're going to stick with this abortion ban. That's where our principles are. And, I commend them for doing that. However, two Republicans decided to jump ship and repeal this decision or this, Supreme Court decision and this law that's already on the books. And that's Republican Representative Matt Gress. And the other one was Republican Representative Tim Dunn of Yuma. Matt Gress is Phoenix area. Tim Dunn of Yuma joined with all 29 Democrats to support House Bill 2677. So with those two Republicans, it passes. Matt Gress sent out a statement, got that emailed to me here a little while ago. Quote, today, the Arizona House acted on a bipartisan basis. Well, okay, yeah, because of you and one other guy. I mean, come on. We got to have a better threshold for what is actually bipartisan. If it's one or two, we just can't call that bipartisan anymore. It has to be something more than that. But anyway, he says, today, the Arizona House acted on a bipartisan basis to repeal our state's territorial abortion law that is unworkable and out of line with the values of Arizonans. He also said that as someone who is both pro-life and the product, you voted to repeal the abortion ban, and he's both pro-life, what's the other word? He's both pro-life and pro-choice? No, he says, oh, as someone who is both pro-life and the product of strong women in my life, I refuse to buy into the false notion pushed by the extremes on both sides of this issue that we cannot respect and protect women and defend new life at the same time. That statement's just, that's kind of mind-blown right there. But anyway, he urges my Senate colleagues to take up this matter quickly. So it now moves over to the Arizona Senate, who will be meeting next Wednesday. So they could hear this as early as next Wednesday in the Arizona Senate. They're meeting like once a week or something at this point. So they'll meet next Wednesday and take this up. Now, Speaker Ben Thoma put this out. He held firm. He's been a good speaker. He's whenever he comes on the show, he lays it out. He's not all squirrely. So I do appreciate Speaker Thoma and the firm leadership he's been giving. He put out a statement on HB 2677, quote, I'm deeply disappointed. As I've said before, Democrats apparently believe that abortion should occur with no limits and no regulations. We should not have rushed this bill through the legislative process. The pre-Roe law has been on the books for decades and was, here's the part that I was talking about earlier, and was readopted in 1977 by Democrats and Republicans in the state legislature. So I don't know what the numbers were, but bipartisan, right? Was there more than one or two? Anyway, Democrats and Republicans in 1977 in the state legislature. And get this, it was signed by Democrat Governor Raul Castro. So back then in 1977, they reaffirmed this and put this back up, went through the legislative process again. And in 1977, both Democrats and Republicans voted to uphold the Arizona ban on abortion, Even though Roe v. Wade was in place, right? So it was still there, though. But he's claiming that in 77, Raul Castro signed it. So what's changed in this country, right? I mean, that wasn't that long ago. I guess it was, but totally different. That's not Civil War era, you know? Anyway, it would have been prudent and responsible to allow the courts to decide the constitutionality of the pre-Roe law. Instead, we are rushing to judgment for reasons I simply cannot understand. I don't quite understand that because I thought the courts already decided that and they said it's going into effect. But anyway, I fervently disagree with my Democrat colleagues who advocate for extremism through unlimited, unrestricted, and unregulated abortions. Abortions are not health care. Abortion kills life. Abortion kills the most vulnerable members of our society. Just because the mother of that child may not want that child does not mean that the child is not precious and has inherent value. Again, the chaos, outbursts, personal attacks, and lack of decorum we saw from Democrats, the Democrat side of the aisle displayed on the House floor 2 weeks ago is completely unacceptable. This institution is a legislative body. We must be able to, et cetera, et cetera. He goes on. So he calls on Hobbs to rescind her executive order, stripping county attorneys of their authority to prosecute abortion-related crimes. And he continues to, you know, support the abortion ban in this state. That's where he was at. That's where the majority of Republicans were at, except for those two. Again, Matt Gress and who's the other one here? Matt Gress and Tim Dunn of Yuma. Matt Gress of Phoenix, Tim Dunn of Yuma. Two Republicans that joined with the other 29 Democrats to move this over to the Arizona Senate. Okay, so this will go to the Senate next Wednesday. And what's the likelihood of this thing actually passing the Senate? Here's about it. What do I got here? 3 minute clip. I had an interview last week with Senator Wendy Rogers, and she talks about what she sees coming as far as if this makes it. She predicted that it was passed the House by 1-4 Republicans joining on board. So she was pretty close on that. Two Republicans did. But what's going to happen when this thing actually gets to the Arizona Senate? Here's Senator Wendy Rogers.
Where'd you be? I mean, where do we go with this?
If it got brought to the Senate floor, I would not vote to repeal.
Okay. I would keep the 1864.
I would not vote to repeal. And I would submit to you and the audience that most of my colleagues agree with me.
Okay. So we'll see how it plays out.
And it really comes down to, do you do what's right or do you do what's popular? And I understand that some people feel like, well, I have to do what I can so that we can win, because if we can't win, then we have no power to do what's right. I've heard that argument. I understand all that. It's very complicated. But I know that I, Wendy Rogers, will do what my family and I have committed to do, which is to uphold life.
Yeah, and you've heard the sides of this all over the place. We even talked about it last week when this decision came out, as far as the political side of this, which is the group that's out there right now that claim they already have 500,000 signatures and their deadline's July 5th to put abortion on the ballot here in Arizona, which and I've tied like Center for Arizona Policy on. We've spoken with Kathy Harrod about that.
I just got an email. Interestingly, you should bring that up. An hour ago,
yeah,
I just got an email, and I'm sure she sent it in particular to each of us one at a time, that said, rightfully so, hey, Senator, you filled out this survey 2 years ago when you ran, and you said you would uphold life 100%. Mm-hmm. We expect you to stick to that and to not vote to repeal this law, just so you know. And of course, she's very correct to put that on me. And as I've just now said on the radio, that's what I will vote.
Okay. A final one on this, Senator Rogers, is if it does come up, or if the Senate doesn't vote on this or votes it down and votes not to repeal, for example, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't have a crystal ball. And then we get to November and the pro-abortion groups put this on the ballot, which is nearly you can get an exception and do late term abortions. You've read and heard about the proposed constitutional amendment in the state. Would there be second thoughts there, or is there a push to get something else on the ballot? We've heard that spoken about a lot?
That has been talked about. And for the listeners to understand what Jeff is referring to, that would be some sort of, say, for example, 15-week ban or 6-week heartbeat law,
okay.
Bill ban, which would be a supposed measure put on the ballot as put forward by the House and Senate that would not require the governor to sign to be able to put on the ballot, be put on the ballot. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't have crystal balls, but I'm just trying to spitball this all out.
Those kinds of things have been floated around.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I've heard about them.
Okay, you can get the full interview with Senator Wendy Rogers up on talkwithjeff.com. Got a full video up there, which is also on Rumble and on the podcast, too. So, yeah, it heads to the Senate next Wednesday. I think this thing is going to pass. So I think they're going to repeal the abortion ban in Arizona, and I think you may see it as early as next Wednesday. I spoke to a couple of people I know in the Arizona legislature, in the Arizona Senate specifically, and it appears that they're, and you don't know until we get there, but it looks like there is going to be two Republican senators that will side with the Democrats. So on the Senate side, you've got 30 members, you've got 16 Republicans and 14 Democrats. So, you know, narrow majority there. Senator Warren Peterson's a stand-up guy. He's not going to support this thing. But it looks like what I'm hearing, and again, until we get to Wednesday, we won't know for certain, but it looks like Senator T.J. Shope will vote with the Democrats to repeal this thing, as well as Senator Shauna Bullock. She'll vote to repeal that. That's what I'm being told. We'll see. I have not spoken directly to them, so I'll put that out there. I've spoken to Shope one time. Bullock's been on the program a couple times. Shope probably will never come on the program again because I think I called him Ducey's lapdog during COVID. So I think that may have – I burnt that relationship with Ducey and Shope back then. Yeah, because Shope was just like kind of Ducey's errand boy when he was in the House of Representatives. It was like kind of nauseating. He was just like – you know, like a little puppy at his leg all the time. Anyway, T.J. Shope is, I would call him a rhino, but really, that's not really a true thing anymore. Republican in name only. I think that's like the House the Freedom Caucus members, like, for example, in D.C., and we'll get to what happened in D.C. here in the Senate with this Ukraine funding in just a little bit. But, you know, I think like the Freedom Caucus members, they're actually rhinos, Republican in name only at this point, because the mainstream Republicans, you know, all the ones that voted to send money to Ukraine and the couple Republicans in the Arizona legislature that are voting to side with the Democrats, those are like, they're like the mainstream Republicans now. That's kind of like the true Republicans. The Republican Party has diverged, and what are they calling them? The hardliners. That's what the media calls them now. The hardliners, you know, Republicans that they're like traditional Republicans, how Republicans used to vote 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, those are now called hardliners. So to use the term rhino anymore doesn't even really make sense, because who are the rhinos? I mean, the Republican Party shows its true light time and time again, especially on a national level. And the rhinos have now become the like the Freedom Caucus people, the people who want to follow the Constitution, the people that don't want us to go broke, you know, the people that don't buckle to any lobbyists and vote basically Democrat, the non-uniparty people. So, yeah, I'll try not to use that term anymore. Anyway, so that those are the two that I think will flip. Bullock and Shope in the Senate, and that would put it on the desk of Governor Katie Hobbs. And as you know, she has broken the record as far as vetoing more bills than anybody. I think it was 140 or something, 150. She, in the 2 years that she's been in office, she's smashed the records, most vetoes of any governor in Arizona's history. But she won't veto this one. This one will make it to her desk, and she'll sign this, and the abortion ban in Arizona will go away. But there'll be a bunch of initiatives that we'll talk about as the weeks progress, because I think there'll be several, including heartbeat one and 15-week ban, and then the full term abortion as well. All right, let me get to a couple other news items here as well. I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Send me an email. And remember, I've got Olivia and Angela coming up in about midway through the second hour. They've got some stories they're going to hit on, so stick around for that. Hey, it's a good time to head on out to the Rodeo Steakhouse in Williams. Get a great steak, great ribs, really good ribs there. The salt and pepper steak's great, by the way, as well. Trout, salmon, the chicken dish, anything you want, all the sides, all the fixin', things like that. The Rodeo Steakhouse in Williams at 950 North Grand Canyon Boulevard. Tell them I sent you. Head on out there tonight for some dinner, or go on out in the weekend here. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. It's going to cool down a little bit, so I think it'll be real beautiful in Williams. Go to the Rodeo Steakhouse again, 950 North Grand Canyon Boulevard by the Ramada Inn. The Rodeo Steakhouse, get some great food there. All right. Also, if you need a new trailer, which who doesn't? I mean, come on. You need a new trailer right now. I know you've been thinking about it. I'm talking to somebody right now that's been like, I really want a dump trailer. I got a lot of projects to do. Or I want a cargo trailer. Maybe you're a contractor. Maybe you got a lot of buggies, ATVs, UTVs, things like that. Good cargo trailer, or you just need a smaller utility trailer for yard work. Look, they got a ton of inventory out at American Trailer Company, American Trailer Company, right on 89 outside Flagstaff. So you don't have to pay the Flagstaff city sales tax. And they're competitive. I bought a dump trailer from them. They try to keep the prices about the same as Phoenix, so you don't have to go down to Phoenix, especially in this heat, or even lower. So you don't need to go down there. Just head on out to American Trailer Company, a great veteran-owned company. And by the way, this is an April promo, so it's ending soon. Take advantage of this because this can be significant, especially if you buy like a bigger dump trailer. Anything that's in stock, mention J-O Show. J-O Show, that's the promo code. Mention J-O Show when you go to American Trailer Company. Get 6% off until the end of April. So take advantage of that. And check out their full inventory at AmericanTrailerAZ.com. That's AmericanTrailerAZ.com. Well, I guess Tennessee lawmakers get it. I've always said that gun-free school zones and anything gun-free, when you put it in front of your house or something, they did this a while back. I don't see them as much anymore, but some people are putting signs on their house that says, this is a gun-free home. And I was like, oh man, that's the one that's going to get robbed. Well, Tennessee lawmakers, a year after they had that deadly school shooting or deadly Nashville shooting, they have passed a bill to allow armed teachers in schools. So they voted 68-28 in favor of the bill, and they sent it to the Republican governor. So it's anticipated that he'll sign that. It was a couple Republicans defected, but I mean, that's a lot of people that voted for that thing. And, in Arizona, if you're in a private school, you can set rules to allow teachers and even people come into school to carry. There's certain rules and regulations. The public schools forget about it, but I think this is a good idea. If someone knows that the place is not a soft target, they're not gonna hit it. And there's some schools in Texas that put a sign out saying this is not a gun-free school zone. This is an armed school where teachers carry firearms. Anyway, that passed the Tennessee legislature, heading to the governor's desk there. Imagine that one going to Governor Hobbs. She'd add that to the veto pile real quick. All right, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hey, if you need new blind shutters or shades, and those things get old and they crack up and all that, I have great blinds from the Blind Brothers. Great company in Arizona. You're in the Prescott area, you're in Flagstaff, you're in the Verde Valley. When it gets hot like this, it's great to have great blinds that help get the R value up a little bit on your window, keep that sun from beaming down and beating down on you. Call the Blind Brothers, mention a Jeff Forbes show. They'll handle the installation. You mention me and you get half off installation. That's the Blind Brothers at 928-634-2423. 928-634-2423. Or go to the blindbrothers.com. Okay, let's hit on, we got the squatters bill still. We got the U.S. Senate voting to send a bunch of money to Ukraine and a bunch of other news items I want to hit on. Plus, Angela and Olivia will get you caught up about midway through the second hour. They'll be chiming in and taking over from Flagstaff. Hang tight. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
You're listening to The Jeff Horvitz Show.
This portion of the show is brought to you by ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. Use promo code 4FREE24 to get great discounts on carpet cleaning. 4FREE24 at ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. Welcome back from Camp Verde. And don't forget, about halfway through the second hour, Angela and Olivia will chime in and take over the studio in Flagstaff and bring you some stories from there. what's the interest rates at right now? I've been saying for a long time that interest rate cuts are not coming. And in fact, I'm not 100% on this. You may see an interest rate increase from the Federal Reserve this year, but I don't think you're seeing a cut. And now I'm seeing the propaganda and the corporate media kind of jumping along with this. And so when you start seeing headlines like this, you know, something's a brew. They can't cut the rates. They can't cut the rates. So you're going to keep paying higher on your auto loans and your home loans, on your credit card bills, you name it, student loans. The Treasury is going to pay, meaning you, more on the national debt, which is approaching $35 trillion. And we sent $95 billion to Ukraine. And we borrowed money. We're borrowing money to send to another country. This is insanity. Where do we find these people that are in charge? Anyway, here's a headline from, where did this one? CNBC. Why the Fed keeping rates higher for longer may not be such a bad thing. So you're starting to get the talking head opinion piece people out there beating the drum on, oh yeah, why the Fed keeping rates higher for longer may not be such a bad thing now, after we were promised rate cuts in the beginning of the year. And then, oh, we're going to put this off a little longer. So I think that's out the window. I don't think you're going to see it. If you've been waiting to get things done, thinking that the Fed's going to drop things at any significance, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but this is just my gut and my experience. Yeah, when you start seeing headlines like that. So on to the Ukraine thing. So as you know, over the weekend, the House voted to send $95 billion to Ukraine, to Israel, to Taiwan. I think it was like $60 billion to Ukraine, and you know, the rest was divvied up between Taiwan and Israel and other projects, right? And plus, they put in there a TikTok ban if the Chinese company doesn't relinquish ownership in the U.S. They're going to ban TikTok. So you probably won't see TikTok around here in the U.S. for very long unless they actually, sell this thing to an American company or somebody else. So they passed that. And what was surprising was, it wasn't surprising. That's not the right word. More Democrats voted for this than Republicans, but a bunch of Republicans jumped on over and voted to send this money. So I said, rhinos is not a thing anymore. Rhinos are the Freedom Caucus and people like that, the constitutionalists, because this is the Republicans. These are the Republicans now. This is the Republican Party now. That's why I left it. And I get a kick out of when people are like, oh, Jeff, you're not a Republican anymore. What, you're not conservative? I'm like, really? This is not a party, a constitutional party anymore. I mean, it is on a local grassroots level. Yes, they're trying to be the old school Republicans. Even on a statewide level, I think the legislature in Arizona, except for the couple of flippers down there, they're the old school Republicans. It just doesn't exist on the national level anymore, in the national party. So get over it. It's gone. That's no longer the case. I'm not fighting for that anymore. I'm not going to be associated with it anymore when they're not following the Constitution and they're getting us into these forever wars and they're dumping all this money into foreign countries when our country's rotting away. And we got mounds of debt just piling up. So anyway, so the House votes to send the money to Ukraine. I'll focus mostly on that because that's the one that nauseates me the most. But it all nauseates me. I don't want to send money to any of these countries. We can't afford it. And they're either oblivious to the state of how much money we don't have, or they just don't care. I guess it's both. I'm not sure. So then the Senate voted yesterday to also send the voted with the House and voted to send the bill to the president, to Biden, to sign and send the money to Ukraine. What was that vote? 79-18. So 70, and the Senate's pretty evenly split. So a ton of Republicans, all but I think 17. I think one of the 18 that voted no was what's his name, Bernie Sanders. So, hey, I'll go with that. I don't agree with a lot on Bernie Sanders, but I do with this. But 18 people voted no. So the bulk of the U.S. Senate voted to send all this money over when we have all these problems in our country, when, you know, they're voting to essentially secure the border of Ukraine and other countries, Israel, Taiwan, but not secure the vote. The Republicans totally capitulated. They didn't give – they didn't ask for anything. They just said, okay, here you go. Send the money over. We don't need borders here in the United States. Unbelievable. So here's the 18 that voted no, just because I think they deserve recognition. Barrasso, Blackburn, Braun, Budd, Cruz, Hagerty, Hawley, Johnson, Lee, Loomis, Marshall, Merkley, Rubio, Sanders, Schmidt, Scott of Florida, Vance, and Welch. That's it. That's it. That's for the Senate. That's 18 that voted no to sending all that money. So there you go. They get a ton of money. And if you want a project done here in the U.S., you know, forget about it. If you want your border secured, forget about it. It's not going to happen. Another bill, flipping back to Arizona. I told you about this one yesterday. Governor Hobbs did veto the squatter's bill. This would have prevented or made it easier for you to get somebody out of your house that's moved in. You know, you like went down to the store real quick and bought a half bag of groceries for double what you bought it for just a couple years ago because of the massive inflation. And you come home and someone's like living on your couch. They change the locks and stuff. You call the cops. She tried to make it easy. Senator Rogers tried to make it easier for people to get them out, you know, call the police and say, hey, I got an intruder in my house, right? Hobbs vetoed that thing. I'll get to that more in the second hour of the show. And I got some clips from another clip from Senator Rogers' recent interview with me because that was her bill. And it had this one actually had like real bipartisan support, not just one or two Democrats joining in. There was a lot of people that joined in on this bill because it just makes sense. And she vetoed that thing. So I'll get to that in just a little bit and give you more details. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com if you want to comment. And don't forget, second half of the show, next hour, got Olivia and Angela. They're going to be firing up the studio in Flagstaff and bring you some things from there. So stick around for that. Let's see. So a big thing that's happening in Arizona now is they're starting to try to gear you up for the so-called budget cuts and budget crisis. So as we kind of wind down the legislative session, and the last big issue they're going to be hitting on here, I think, will be next Wednesday in the Arizona Senate, the abortion issue. And then I think you'll see them switch to budget mode. And I don't know, Arizona's $1.5 billion, $2 billion short, but that's just a stupid word because they're not short, really. They spent more year after year, and under Republicans too. They doubled the budget in a 10-year period. And then when tax receipts, economic activity goes down a little bit. All of a sudden, we're in this huge crisis. So Hobbs' office is preparing for budget cuts. She's talking to department heads. I'm looking at an article here from the Arizona Daily Independent. She's saying, hey, they're starting budget cut exercises to prepare for the state's projected deficit. She sent a letter out, I guess, to government agencies, statewide agencies on Friday saying, that, hey, you got to get ready for, quote, a new budgetary savings exercise to submit it by actually today. And over the next 2 years, she's saying we got to find more than $1.2 billion in savings, meaning cuts. I mean, they grew the government too much. So now all of a sudden they grew it too much and they got to cut back. They should just keep things the same. Just if you got to grow, you grow for inflation or something like that. But we could cut government a lot more. It's grown so much over the years. So now they're going to make a big deal about that. They'll probably cut things that are most painful, of course. They won't cut absolutely useless programs first. They'll cut the more high-profile ones and then probably go after a tax hike to try to keep stupid programs. So then, but then I don't get this because she's preparing for budget cuts, right? But then Hobbs announced, it's from ABC 15, she announced a $500,000 investment to help more students complete, what is that? FAFSA. F-A-F-S-A. Let's follow the link. Oh, free application for federal student aid. So we're broke apparently, and we got to make budget cuts, but yet we're going to, she announces an investment of $500,000 to help students get a, you know, do a quote unquote free application for federal student aid to help them with submissions. They can't, don't we have in these public schools, like the administrators and the counselors and whatnot that do this stuff that help, they're supposed to help. Aren't they already on the books getting paid? Why do you need to pump more money into this? So yeah, they just keep pumping money in and at the same time saying, oh, we're in budget trouble. It makes no sense. Frustrating. On a good note, being that so many people showed up to Lou Kottner's funeral the other day. Lou Kottner was one of the last survivor of the USS Arizona in the attack on Pearl Harbor that launched the U.S. into World War II in 1941. And there was hundreds of people showed up for his ceremony, 21 gun salute. Military flyover happened as well. So that's good news that we honor people that have served. And an era that is just, there's really not much, there's not many people left with a direct connection that remember that. Maybe there's kids, there's grandkids that they heard the stories and stuff, but not people that were there on the ground. That generation is, you know, mostly gone now at this point. And it's kind of scary if you study history, because when that happens, oftentimes you see history repeating itself. And that, I feel like we're living in a world right now that really mirrors what was going on in the 1930s across the world. So I am glad, though, that so many people showed up and that they are honoring this military veteran who had served and who was on the USS Arizona. Let's see. I guess there's money in Arizona for the flood control district. This is the area north of Flagstaff, you know, that burnt down. You had the tunnel fire and all that. And a bunch of money has been put into the drainage out there. It's 19 point something million dollars. So almost $20 million is being put into, and federal funds are coming in for that. So that's a huge project out there, nearly $20 million in project funding for that. Imagine what we could do. You could probably complete the project if you didn't send the money to Ukraine. You could probably get project. Imagine how many projects need to be done in every community throughout the country with our infrastructure falling apart. I mean, I told you I'm down in Camp Verde, I-17 falling apart. You know, the roads are falling apart. They're digging it up again, by the way. I thought they fixed that last year. But imagine all the projects we could get done. I don't know why a lot of media in Northern Arizona is reporting on, I guess this is the big news that Flagstaff Mayor Becky Daggett is endorsing Congressman Rum Geiger. This is no surprise. She's going to support the Democrats. And Rum Geiger is the Democrats, presumed Democrat nominee for Senate, probably going to go up against Carrie Lake. We shall see. Primary still has to happen, but yeah, the mayor endorsing. I don't know if I'm going to do any endorsements. There might actually be a couple of candidates in the primary that I do endorse that have shown to be stand-up human beings in the legislative body, both the Congress and the Arizona State Legislature. So stay tuned. I may give you a couple of my recommendations and say, hey, I'm going to support this person over the other so-called Republican. That may be important this election cycle. To point out the people who have been doing a really good job. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@iCloud.com. Send those comments in. Hey, you know, if I get a rock chip in my windshield, I call Diamond Auto Glass first. They fix it and it doesn't spread to the rest of my windshield. They do an awesome job for all of our vehicles over the years. Why don't you go to Diamond Auto Glass on 4th Street in Flagstaff? It takes 10 to 15 minutes to repair that rock chip. They can do the whole windshield for you as well. They can work with your insurance company. Call them first. Don't call your insurance company. Call Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140, 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Also, please write down this number. If your HVAC system goes out, call Gettles High Desert Mechanical, servicing Prescott area, Verde Valley, Flagstaff. I've used them plenty of times up in Flagstaff at my house.
They did a great job on my heater and my HVAC system. Here's the number for Gettles High Desert Mechanical. It's a family-owned company that's been doing this for decades, including plumbing, by the way. Gettles High Desert Mechanical, full service, new construction, custom design, retrofitting. Gettles High Desert Mechanical at 928-567-2200. 928-567-2200. Or go to Gettles, G-O-E-T-T-L-S, G-O-E-T-T-L-S, GettlesHDM.com. Hang tight. Back in a minute. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
I got more on the abortionist in Arizona the next hour, but I also want to hit more on the squatters bill. And then I got an example where New York is actually doing something right over Arizona on the squatters issue. Crazy stuff. Plus, Olivia and Angela about midway through the next hour, they've got some updates for you from the Flagstaff studio. So they're going to fire it up and chime in on that. And if you got a comment, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Don't go anywhere. More to come back in a few. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
You've heard me talking with Glenn Least of WT Wealth Management over the years, and I enjoy having him on the program because he's a wealth of information and knowledge, and plus he's, you know, a straight talker, easy to talk to when it comes to my portfolio, finances, what's going on in the economy. You want to have a one-on-one conversation with Glenn Least of WT Wealth Management, go ahead and call him right now. It's no obligation, doesn't cost anything. You can get a second set of eyes on your portfolio. Here's his number, Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management, 928-225-2474, 928-225-2474, or send him an email, gleast, that's G-L-E-E-S-T, gleast at WTWealthManagement.com. Last year, Angela and I called the Blind Brothers to get all new blinds in our home in Flagstaff. And man, did they do a great job. They came in, laid out all the options. We've picked a great set of blinds. Then they came back. They took out the old ones, did the installation. I highly recommend having the Blind Brothers do your installation. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. Get up to half off the installation. That's in addition to any other advertised specials. Do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers, a great Northern Arizona company, at 928-634-2423. 928-634-2423. Or go to theblindbrothers.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by Just Wireless. Get your smartphone repaired. Check out JustWirelessAZ.com.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Jeff Horvitz here from Camp Verde, and another beautiful day. Kind of windy, kind of upper 80s. Been doing a lot of work here. Busting my butt trying to get gardens and things going and get it all ready, fixing irrigation, fixing fences. I left Flagstaff pretty early this morning. I took the kids to school and then cut across town, had to stop at the hardware store and buy a couple things to fix the irrigation. And I kind of left the house abruptly and just had some coffee and didn't really eat anything. So after I picked up my supplies, I was like, man, I need some food. And, you know, I've had some interesting restaurant experiences lately as far as cost goes. And I kind of have my same restaurants I usually try to go to because I kind of, you know the specials and things like that. Like I know I can go to Namarco's Pizza and it's $10 for me to get a couple slices and a drink. I know I can go to Sportsman's and get, you know, something at a pretty good value. But whenever I go, and there's a couple other places I go to as well, that aren't particularly sponsors. I, you know, eat at more than two restaurants. But anyway, sometimes I go to a place that I haven't been to in a while. Like last week, my dad and I went out to lunch to a Chinese restaurant. Hadn't been there probably in 6 months. And I was shocked when for two of us just to get the quote unquote lunch special with hot tea, which used to be included and, you know, a couple things like that, is $50. And it's like $50 for lunch. And I'm looking around and I'm like, there's nobody in here. I mean, I think we were the only, there might've been two other tables in this restaurant with lots of tables. Right. I'm like, oh, this is a bad sign. I'm not coming back here again. I can't do $50 lunches. And I get why restaurants are doing it, but the ones that I think that are going to survive have adapted. I just mentioned two of them, and they get the specials where if you want something and you don't want to break the bank, or some smaller portions even sometimes, you know, it's like, hey, yeah, I just need some food. I don't need a huge meal and I don't need to spend $50. There are places out there that are thriving and doing good. But ever since Flagstaff raised the minimum wage and the politicians pushed this, and they're not in office anymore, right? They don't care. I don't even know if they're in Flagstaff. And a lot of NAU students voted for one of the highest minimum wages in the nation at the time. I think California's finally passed this up. Didn't they go to $20 or something? But Flag will be there soon. And we, you know, I was warning, hey, we're going to have problems here. You know, especially when you, if this thing hits full force when the economy is also doing bad. And that's what happened. It hit, you know, full force. $18 or whatever the heck the minimum wage is now, getting close to that. And the economy is also not the greatest. So anyway, I needed to fuel up a little bit. So I decided to stop at one of the, you know, a Mexican restaurant that I had been to, but I hadn't been to in years. And I'm like, okay, I'm thinking breakfast burrito, right? Breakfast burrito. You know, I don't sound like, I remember back in the day, no, pre-COVID, I could get a breakfast burrito, the monster breakfast burrito from, you know, just about any, I don't want to call them hole-in-the-wall Mexican places, but hole-in-the-wall Mexican places, right? Where they have good food, but it's not exactly fine dining or anything. It's like they were $5 for a burrito prior to COVID and prior to all the inflation and all the money printing, right? This burrito was $11. $11 for a, it was big. It was too big, though. I didn't need it that big, but still, $11 for a breakfast burrito this morning. And I felt like a sucker, and I was the only one because it was 8 o'clock and there was no one in there. And I think you're going to see some restaurants shuttering their doors in the coming months, definitely the coming years, as this wage and the cost continue to increase. I know why they got to have those high prices. I get it. I get the input costs and the inflation and all that, but yet some other restaurants are able to handle this. I was like, $11, really? So now I'm on a kick. I'm just going to like pre-cook, like maybe earlier in the week, some, you know, sausage or something, some potatoes, maybe even freeze them and just, you know, so I could quickly make a breakfast burrito myself because I can make it at home for under $1. So I think a lot of people will make that decision. Anyway, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Share with you my food problems. It's just, you guys are all experiencing this too. It's insane. That's why last hour when I told you the Fed and, the Fed's now, one of the governors said, hey, I don't think an interest rate cut's coming. We may even have an interest rate increase. And you see headlines like why the Fed keeping rates higher for longer may not be such a bad thing. You know, things like that. When you start seeing that, you're like, oh, they're kind of losing control of this stuff. And then the Treasury note with the 10 years, like at 4.5%, mortgage rates are getting back up around 7.5%. They're not able to control the inflation. It's crazy. So it's frustrating for me. It's frustrating for you, and it's costly to do just about anything. You got to learn how to do stuff yourself nowadays. You're going to have to, like, next time something breaks, like plumbing or something, just do what I made Owen do the other day. Go on YouTube and just say, hey, maybe I can fix this myself and, you know, learn that skill. I think a lot of people are going to maybe get back to that, get back to knowing how to do some stuff because it's just so costly. But that kind of sucks because that cuts the plumber out. But what are you going to do? You know, it's just getting super expensive. All right. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love to hear from you. Hey, if I was selling a home in the Flagstaff area right now and surrounding areas, I'd call Kelly Broadus with the Broadus Properties Group brokered by EXP. Kelly knows her stuff, period. Kelly puts a lot into selling your home. She'll tell you, give you advice. She did that for someone recently, and then this person realized, I think it was a couple hundred thousand extra dollars, because she was like, hey, clean the yard. Maybe do some paint, maybe do some staging, you know, where you bring in furniture and this and that. Because I don't know, some people can't envision what it's going to look like. She can, though, and she can also give you the advice as to what to do, how to get top dollar for your home when you're selling. She also does buying. So I've been saying this lately, if you're thinking about getting out of more populated areas and less dense populations with the craziness that's going on in the big cities, call Kelly Broaddus. She'll be able to help you out. Here's her number, 888-446-5602. 888-446-5602. Or go online. You get an instant valuation on your home, plus a ton of other info from Kelly Broaddus at NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. That's NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. Real quick, last hour, just to update you on that, if you didn't listen, the Arizona House of Representatives voted in favor of repealing the total abortion ban in Arizona. This was the a result of this Arizona Supreme Court saying that the law that was first put into effect in 1864 and re-upped multiple times, even under Democrat governors, by the way, Speaker Ben Toma was sent out an email. I got an email from him talking about that, and I explained that last hour. This isn't just from 1864. This has been re-upped multiple times as late as, I think, 1977 or 78. And multiple times before that. Anyway, the Arizona House of Representatives voted 32-28 to repeal it. Two Republicans jumped ship and voted with all Democrats to repeal the abortion ban. So there was nothing. The other Republicans, the other 28, held firm and said, no, we're not voting for this repeal. Now it heads over to the Arizona Senate as early as next Wednesday. And my sources tell me that there's two Republicans that will vote to repeal it in the Arizona Senate. The names that are being thrown around now, I've not called them to verify it, but this is what's floating around from people that I know down there at the Senate, is Senator Bollock is considering voting for the repeal, as well as Senator Shope, which does not surprise me at all. And I won't go into that one again, but, you know, he would vote for he's been a challenge for me over the years. Let's just go with that. So I think this time next week, we may be talking about this thing heading to Governor Hobbs' desk for her signature. I don't know. And then there'll be, somebody asked me, hey, where do I stand on this? No, I'm for the full, abortion ban. I would put in I would modify it though for rape and incest, because right now I don't think that's in there. And then right now they do have for the health and safety of the mother. You know, I would add those two things in there. But if it does get repealed, and if it does get signed, well, when it does get signed by the governor, if it makes it to that process, we're still facing a certain ballot initiative for full late term abortion. So, we have the 15-week ban that would go into effect if the Senate votes to repeal this full abortion ban next week. So the 15-week ban would be in effect, but then there's a group out there getting signatures to put on the ballots to amend the Constitution to allow basically full-term abortions, because you can get a doctor note that says you're just not happy that day and you can get an abortion. So California-style abortions. So what will have to happen after next week, if this thing does get repealed, is the Republicans or some group are going to have to put out the best case would be, well, I guess you could do a full abortion ban. You could try that. You could put that out there. You could also put out a heartbeat abortion ban, so you can give the voters options. And then the 15-week ban that we currently have, I don't know. I'm looking for the best, you know, bad thing, next bad choice we got here to try to save lives. Because I worry that if it's just the 24-week or the full-term abortion ban that's being floated, or not ban, but full-term abortion law that's being floated out there right now, I think that'll pass. And so there's going to have to be some hard decisions. We'll wait and see after next week. Are there multiple ballot initiatives on there this November for abortion? Is it, you know, A, full term, which that group, the abortionists, are trying to get on there. B, 15-week. C, heartbeat. Or D, abortion ban, straight up. And that may be the way we see the ballot pan out. I don't know. There's not a lot of time. I don't think people can get signatures for this. The legislature, taking this all back now, the legislature will probably have to do it. The legislature will probably have to do it for timing because they can send something right to the ballot. So let's see what happens. Let's keep on it. And I'd love your thoughts on it as well. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Okay, so Governor Katie Hobbs, you know, she'll sign the abortion repeal next week. She'll sign just about every kooky bill out there, right? But she's been vetoing good bills. She vetoed the one where, like, if you're a dude and you're pretending to be a girl and you go into the girl's bathroom, you know, she vetoed that bill, like, that you can't go in there. She vetoed that one. She also vetoed Senator Wendy Rogers' squatters bill. I talked about this yesterday. I'm just shocked that she vetoed this thing. And I have a clip here from Senator Rogers explaining exactly what her bill was. It's pretty simple, though. If you break into someone's house and say that you live in there, you can just call the cops and get those people ousted and not have to go through some long, expensive, lengthy legal process. By the way, New York, because they've had a rash of people squatting in homes in New York, like really bad. Like, there was this video where the person that owned the home got into trouble. I think she may have even gotten arrested. Yeah, homeowners, this is Fox News, homeowners score victory against squatters in New York after landlord handcuffed in $1 million home heist. So the landlord got handcuffed for trying to get the squatter out, right? So the New York legislature and the governor signed it. You know, the leftist governor in New York has signed this bill that will make it harder for people to squat and make it easier for property owners to get the squatters out. So let me ask you this. How in the world does New York, just about the leftist state out there, actually sign a squatters bill, but our governor, Governor Hobbs, what, does she like squatters? Is she a squatter? I mean, what the heck? You know, that you got New York with all these leftists voting to make it easier to get squatters out, but here in Arizona, a bipartisan bill that Senator Rogers put forward, bipartisan bill, not just one or two people, not just one or two Democrats, a significant amount of Democrats joined in, and then it gets to Hobbs' desk, and she vetoes the dang thing. You know, how ridiculous is that? Anyway, here's Senator Rogers explaining what was in this bill.
I think all of us know here in the country that the problem with squatters moving into an empty home, that is a real problem. And especially in Arizona and in Florida, where many people have two homes. And so Florida passed a law that has really good substance to it, has teeth in it, about 3 to 4 weeks ago. And I started running a bill for taking care of the squatter problem way back when in the fall, actually before we went into session, because an attorney friend sent me the concept and said this is an increasing problem. And so I had the experts put the language together, and it went through the Senate with actually Teresa Hatatli, my crosstown senator colleague from the Navajo Nation who covers northern part of Flagstaff. She voted for it, and another Democrat. And then it went to the House and had a lot of Democrats vote for it. I think it was one vote shy of the emergency clause, which means that two-thirds, which is two-thirds, meaning it's immediately implementable. So that's, I think, over time it became higher in people's consciousness as to it being a problem. So then we did a big press conference on it just a few days ago. The thing we did at the House was a six-page amendment that Representative Leo Biasucci put on there, which added a lot of the language from Florida. So we're not proud. We'll borrow language from other states. Yeah. Florida was so good that it had a checklist in there for law enforcement. So everybody, really the essence of it is this. You go on vacation, you come back 3 weeks later, and there are squatters in your house. And you think, oh my gosh, Senator, well, I'll just call the police and kick them out. Well, it's not that easy sometimes. They can say that they have the right to be there, and depending on what municipality or what county sheriff you have, they may be reticent to kick them out. And then it goes to court. And then they're still staying there, ruining your place, costing you money to keep up utilities, believe it or not, and everything like that, wrecking your place while you're trying to kick them out. It's unbelievable.
And you're spending money on lawyer bills, right. Legal bills, all that, yeah.
So my bill says, oh, no, they need to be kicked out right then and there. In fact, if you want to keep the police there to sort of hold your hand and give you some top cover while they're being evicted, you can ask them to stay, and the police, depending on what municipality it is, could ask you for some pay for them to stay there to watch over the situation. We put that in the bill. This negates the need for you to go to court to kick them out.
Let me paint a picture here then. Okay, like you said, you go away, you come back, and somebody just in the house, they're not a tenant, they're not covered by the Arizona tenant law, anything like that. They're not a holdover, they're not somebody who their lease expired.
Different body of law.
Yeah, these are people that just, like, I'll just use me as an example. You're out of town, I go into your house, and I'm just, I'm here.
I'm
getting Amazon packages, I'm watching TV, I'm having a good old time. You come home, and there I am, you know, eating potato chips, watching your cable TV or whatever, and you come home, you're shocked. But in some places, even in Arizona, this has happened where you call and they say no, that we can't just kick them out.
Well,
in Arizona,
it's happening across the state. I can't pinpoint which places are stricter than others.
Okay,
we're doing this to protect not only the public, but we're doing this to help the police. And in our case, in LD7, I have four county sheriffs that I talked to. And so I coordinated with one of them in particular, Navajo County, who I know really well, and got his input. But this protects them. All they need from you, me, the homeowner, to kick you out is an affidavit.
Saying this is my home.
Right. And we list the criteria in the bill of what the affidavit has to say. Now, the phony tenant can produce a dime store fake affidavit, and that would have to be worked out. But if they do that, that's a crime.
They're committing some kind of fraud or something, I would imagine. Okay.
And so the other challenge I got from some Democrats was, what if there's a domestic partner relationship and the guy wants to kick the gal out after 10 years and he weaponizes this law that you're doing the bill for to kick her out. We have strict exclusions for that so that it can't be used to kick out a domestic partner.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like you got it covered, and it sounds like you have something that we could truly call a bipartisan bill.
Yes.
Because every once in a while you get these bipartisan bills and it's like one person flipped over. Usually it's the left. They get one rhino Republican to flip over to go with them, and we passed this huge budget with, you know, bipartisan, and it winds up being one spend happy Republican.
And to be honest, you know, to sort of speak to how the sausage is made, I mean, at the 11th hour, we're meeting just one day a week now on Wednesdays. And so Monday of a week ago today, Senator Rogers, we have these people who are against it, and they want the constables to be able to evict people in this scenario. And I said, okay, to the lawyers at the Senate who are helping me with the language, I said, ask the Constable Association. Well, of course, the constables said no.
And we don't want to have to deal with this.
We have enough to deal with. Yeah. And they're not law enforcement. And so we dutifully went back to the naysayers and said, we did what you asked. We asked the constables, and they said not only no, but heck no. Okay, so are we good? I mean, this is what goes on back and
back
forth.
Back and forth. Anyway, squatter's bill has been squatted. It's unfortunate. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those comments in. Right, don't forget, I've got coming up here in just a few minutes, Olivia and Angela are up in the Flagstaff studio. They're going to fill you in on a couple things. Don't know what they got planned, so stick around. They usually have fun. I wish they'd do this every week. It'd be good. And get outside earlier if I come down here and do some outside work. Before I move on here, I want to remind you about one of our great sponsors, and they've been with us for a really long time, and that's Desert Gold Exchange. Desert Gold Exchange, where I buy my physical gold and silver, and it's a really good time to look into owning physical gold and silver. If you haven't done this already, it's insane out there. I've given you some financial examples here during the show today. You should at least learn about physical gold and silver.
I've been buying physical gold and silver from Desert Gold Exchange. Justin and his family company, they keep their overhead low. They pass the savings on to you. Call them up, put them to the test. They guarantee that they're going to have the lowest commissions that you're going to find. And that's a big deal nowadays with the premiums on some of these, especially coins. I got some silver eagles from them recently. 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. Or go to desertgoldexchange.com. Also, if you want to save some money, you should call Allstate Insurance Agency. Eric and Lisa Boatner have been doing a great job for my family, saved us a lot of money on our homeowners policy, on our autos as well. If I had a boat, they would save it on that too. You got life insurance too, business owners, you name it. Call Eric Boatner, Lisa Boatner, have them look at your policy and rebid that out. I think you'll be surprised. Angela and I saved quite a bit of money. 928-774-8722. That's 928-774-8722. Okay, stick around. Angela and Olivia take over from here, and I'll be back tomorrow, but don't you go anywhere. Hang tight. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
It's a great time to head on over to Sportsman's Bar and Grill. This is a place where you can get food and not break the bank. They've been doing a great job with their $4 menu. Plus, today is Wing Wednesday, half-price wings. Tomorrow, you got sliders. Great deal on sliders. And, oh, they always got great drink specials as well. And their daily specials during the week, that's from lunchtime to dinner. So go on over to Sportsman's Bar and Grill just north of downtown Flagstaff, right there in the Bashas Shopping Center. But they've got plenty of parking. If you get a rock chip in your windshield, remember to call Diamond Auto Glass first. They've been taking care of my family's auto glass for many, many years. Diamond Auto Glass, where the difference is clear.com at 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140.
I know you're listening. Watch out.
Happy Wednesday, everyone.
We are back.
We're back.
For some more.
Mom and daughter action.
Stealing the studio together.
It's really just because he didn't want to work.
Yeah, but let's make this more dramatic. There was this great thievery. We threw him from his chair and stole it all.
Kicked him out.
Well, you had an update after actually the last time we did this.
I know, the last time we did this, I was talking about the giant pandas, because I don't know why, but I have a fascination with them.
And what a coincidence that it pops up again.
Yeah, so I've talked about this twice before, believe it or not. It's kind of funny. That apparently the giant pandas that reside in the U.S. are actually on loan from China, which, I don't know, you go to the zoo and you just see the animals and you think they belong to the zoo, but in reality, these giant pandas belong to China still. It's just a loan, which they've been doing for quite a while. I mean, even back into like the 1940s, they were gifting pandas at that time. But in the 70s with Nixon, when Nixon kind of went over and started like a better diplomatic relationship with China, that's when they started letting us house the pandas and take care of them for a short time. But
did they have something of ours? Because I can't think of something that we're particularly famous for. It's like, oh, China with their pandas and whatever.
When Nixon went to China in 72, and he was like, I'm going to bring them a gift of some kind of animal, and they're trying to figure out what kind of animal would be the right thing. And he ultimately went with a pair of musk oxen.
Wow.
And then when he
That's came a back dull. From there. China gave us the pandas, the giant pandas, and I mean, I personally think we got the better end of the deal. But
yeah, here's a stinky oxen.
So anyway, at this time, the only giant pandas left in the U.S. are in Atlanta Zoo. And because the ones in the National Zoo, like when we saw them, have had to go back to China.
That's sad.
Yeah. So last time we talked about it, I was saying that San Diego Zoo was going to get some. And now, San Francisco Zoo is going to get some giant pandas too. So that's
imagine
it.
A plane with a panda, like shipping it over.
I know. Imagine the rigmarole to move one of those things or a couple of them. Because sometimes they send a breeding pair, so...
Oh, we have a story about a plane and a different kind of bear.
Oh, yeah.
What kind do we want to do? I think we can stick on a bear story because we have the first bear sightings of the year reported in southern Arizona.
Yeah, just kind of like northeast of Tucson, the mountains there.
Above 5,000 feet is when it's coming. So two were sighted on Monday by like these wilderness campers.
Yeah.
And so, of course, they'd have all of the warnings of... like what you should do. And in this instance, the bear went into the tent. There wasn't a person in there. It was like trash.
And
which, don't
I think
do that.
Food or something.
Don't do that
maybe.
When you're camping.
Luckily, there was no one in the tent, right?
Yeah. So it just went in there. And I mean, nobody was hurt or anything. But I mean, imagine going back to your tent to have a bear in there.
Or that's if nice you were roommate. Inside the tent and it came in.
Oh, yeah. Well, when we were in Montana, remind me the name of the like little town of Ovando or whatever. Yeah. And then we left and then somebody
got
eaten in a tent by a bear.
Someone got dragged out of their tent and killed. But that was a grizzly. I mean, these are black bears here in Arizona, but that one was a grizzly in Montana.
Yeah. I just remember that in general when I think about bears.
Yeah.
That we were like right there and.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, like, hypothetically, if you were in a situation where you were camping and you saw a bear, what should you do?
Don't run.
Yeah, don't
they
run.
They say don't run. And, don't make eye contact with the bear, but you can yell at it and throw things at it and make yourself bigger. You don't want to be the frightened prey that, like, they're not sure, but, oh, you look like a snack because you're running like they're snacks.
Yeah.
And so you want to be something big and threatening, like, throw up your arms and fight back and yell at them.
Yeah, like if they were to attack you, you don't just roll over and play dead.
Yeah.
You want to fight back. Right. And don't put your food out. Don't leave it in your tent.
Yeah, they say don't, like, keep your campsite away from, like, bodies of water because that's where they look for food. I don't know how many people are going to do that because that's where you camp, but that's what they say. And then, yeah, just the food.
Yeah,
they can smell it from a mile away,
yeah,
literally.
The food. And sometimes you don't think of the bears, especially in April. You might not be on your radar as much as like maybe in the summertime. But right now they're out of hibernation and they're hungry, right?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's not you.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be their after hibernation feast.
In the summer, someone in Prescott got killed by one.
Right, building their house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They still can't figure that one out, like why.
Right, they're baffled as to like the, because typically bears aren't going to have the aggressive behavior. So
right.
That kind of confused some of the experts as to like exactly how that happened. I wonder if they don't have the full story.
Yeah, well, they could never know. I mean, you couldn't know for sure, I guess, why.
Yeah.
The attack.
Or like, but what the people did or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about the plane?
Yeah, I was just reading today that the Biden administration set in place new rules for U.S. airlines. So this is kind of just like a PSA for, you know, for airline travel in general. So some of the new rules are that the airline, if they are 3 hours off schedule or more, that they have to give you a cash refund and not just the voucher. So you don't get the voucher like, here's a voucher for future travel and we'll give you, you know, $300 off. They have to give you the refund.
A full refund, but you still get your flight?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about all the details about that. So if that happens to someone out there, they should probably look into the exact rules,
but they do a pretty sucky job of like,
yeah,
there
a lot of them
there.
It's like, oh, sorry, your flight's delayed, or sorry, it's canceled, and like, boo-hoo. You know, they try and, you know, they'll try and figure something out so you can get where you're going, but it Right. It's at a major inconvenience to everyone involved. Well,
I mean, you should go earlier so that if there is a delay, you aren't like missing something. But people can miss something like super important just because of that.
Yeah. So the new rule is for a domestic flight that's 3 hours or more off schedule, an international flight if it's more than 6 hours behind. And then also if the airline increases your connection or routes you through another airport, or like if they lose your bag and don't have it back within, I think, 12 hours or so, there's all kinds of new rules that they have to refund you the money and not do the voucher thing. So
I had this dream. Sorry, this is a little bit on the side, but I had this dream and it was when we were traveling. And I guess, I mean, I like put down my suitcase several times or something and just didn't. And then I had like just didn't know. It just didn't like occur to me, or it might have been my backpack that I just kind of left there. And you guys were like, are you like leaving that? So I had this dream that I left it behind and I thought you guys would be really mad, so I wasn't going to tell you. And I like took somebody else's bag and then I opened it up and it was stacked full of gold bars.
Oh,
and
wow.
So then I was like, I don't have any clothes, but I have a lot of gold. And so yeah.
Except if you took that to a store and actually tried to buy something with it, they would look at you like you're from outer space.
Well, they would think it was fake, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I wonder what stories they have about somebody bringing in, like, anything interesting to pay, other currency or something.
Yeah. Yeah, well, actually, speaking of currency, it's funny because today I was curious about the Turkish lira inflation, because I know that's been a topic of conversation on the show also, is the inflation in Turkey. And we went there just a little over a month ago. But before we did, I ordered $100 worth of Turkish currency. And I heard Mark and Bob talking about doing that and how they didn't think that was a good idea because of the inflation. But I was like, I just need to get $100 just so we have money for a taxi. And that way we're not exchanging in the airport, which is a ripoff if you have to get money in the airport. And so I just thought, we'll just get a little bit just so that when we first get there, we have some money. We don't have to worry about exchanging it. Well, anyway, when I exchanged my $100 here 2 months ago, I received $2,900 in Turkish lira. And now today, if I were to do my $100 again, I would get 3,030 lira. So in 2 months, you would get 130 lira more, which is equivalent to about $4. So,
well, that's why they have their erasable menu prices.
So that was just my inflation update.
I just remember, I mean, we got totally ripped off at one point because of not understanding the conversion at all.
Well,
especially after traveling before to different places with different like
conversions. That happened too, because it was something like you had to weigh it and that was in grams or something.
Right. I don't know what a gram is.
We were confused on how much exactly, you know, like you're trying to convert grams into pounds or something, and then the lira into dollars, and then we were so confused and we just had no idea. And then afterwards we're like, oh yeah, I think we got ripped off on that.
Oops.
Because it was just heavier than we thought, and we didn't do the conversion right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, we have Tesla profit slump by more than a half.
Wow.
So they have a couple reasons. One is lower cost rivals. There's this quote that's saying that sales all over the world are being put under pressure because of the hybrids.
Oh, yeah.
Because people are preferring the hybrids, which is kind of like what you say.
Yeah, I do all the time. Because then you don't have to worry about the charging aspect of it. Because the hybrids recharge while they're driving.
Right, it's kind of like instead of the extreme.
Yeah.
I can definitely see why people are doing that, but they're letting go of over 10% of their workforce, and they have like 140,000 employees as of last year, so they're getting rid of just like a huge amount of their workforce, and I don't know. It just sounds to me like it's crumbling around them, and it's probably worse also than like the news is getting right.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Well, probably also because the demand might be less right now. Like the people who really were gung-ho about getting one,
they got one.
And also there's more competition now. Like China has a couple different ones and other, you know, Ford has theirs. And
right.
Like,
and then I would also say that there's more doubt that this isn't, oh, the perfect dream car. Because
there could be some.
I don't know. Like just people talk more about like the bad parts of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that just that?
Well, I don't know. I think Elon Musk is making a pretty good salary still, but we'll see how that works out in the future.
Bye bye to his employees.
Well, I was going to talk also about Governor Hobbs vetoing Senate Bill 1182 yesterday, which brings at that time her veto count to 52 this year. So
going for another going award.
She's going for it. So this bill, Senate Bill 1182, would say that public school students wouldn't have to share the locker room with students born that are the opposite sex. So Hobbs called it an attack on Arizonans, which I kind of think that
the locker room is a little bit of an attack
on women and girls. So this bill would have required a reasonable accommodation for individuals that are unwilling to shower in a multi-occupancy shower for their designated biological sex. So meaning someone that was born male and all of a sudden they want to go into the girls' locker room and want to shower in there with the girls and they're just unwilling to do it in the male locker room. So this bill would have said that, okay, like we need to have another shower stall, like a, you know, private one or a different schedule of times or something like something reasonable.
They have for bathrooms, like the, like either way or the family or whatever.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. They have options in gyms, some gyms and stuff.
But, I mean, it's better than like the alternative.
Some of them though refuse to use those, you know, they just say, no, I'm identifying as a woman now and I'm going to go into the women's locker room. And it's kind of disturbing, I feel. So anyway, that bill is squashed. That's not happening. So that was just for the public schools, I don't know, in the state. And then also, Jeff talked about it yesterday, that I got approached at the post office to sign a petition. And the guy, it was from Make Elections Fair Political Action Committee. And he says, you're signing to make sure that independents can vote in the presidential primary. And I mean, it's like, well, okay, maybe, I don't know. I kind of think that the parties, you know, the Republican Party or the Democrat Party should, those members of that party should
elect
the person that they want for their party, and the independents maybe shouldn't be voting in that one. But anyway, regardless of what you think about that, you have to read the fine print, because I did, and come to find out it had stuff about the rank choice voting in there also. So, bottom line is read the fine print.
Always a good idea.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, people sign it without reading what they're signing.
For sure. Okay, we'll be right back.
Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is The Jeff Horvitz Show.
Okay, well, that is enough for today's show and our little takeover again. So we hope you liked it.
Email us talk with Jeff at iCloud.com.
We love emails. We love to hear from you. And yeah, have a good night.
Good afternoon.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
You've heard me talking with Glenn Least of WT Wealth Management over the years, and I enjoy having him on the program because he's a wealth of information and knowledge, and plus he's, you know, a straight talker, easy to talk to when it comes to my portfolio, finances, what's going on in the economy. You want to have a one-on-one conversation with Glenn Least of WT Wealth Management, go ahead and call him right now. It's no obligation. Doesn't cost anything. You can get a second set of eyes on your portfolio. Here's his number. Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management, 928-225-2474. 928-225-2474. Or send him an email. Gleast. That's G-L-E-E-S-T. Gleast at WTWealthManagement.com. Last year, Angela and I called the Blind Brothers to get all new blinds in our home in Flagstaff. And man, did they do a great job. They came in, laid out all the options. We've picked a great set of blinds. Then they came back. They took out the old ones, did the installation. I highly recommend having the Blind Brothers do your installation. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. Get up to half off the installation. That's in addition to any other advertised specials. Do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers, a great Northern Arizona company, at 928-634-2423. 928-634-2423. Or go to theblindbrothers.com. If I was selling a home in the Flagstaff area right now, you all know what I would do. I'd call Kelly Broaddus with Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. That's what the owners of the Hidden Hollow property did. They went to her and they was like, we're going to list this as an as-is property for $1.6 million. And Kelly's like, wait a second. Do a little maintenance, a little bit of yard work, a little bit of staging, and you're going to get more for this thing. And then within, I think they got like three offers in 1 week, and Kelly Broaddus was able to sell a property for $1.8 million. So an extra $200,000 over the asking price. See what Kelly Broaddus can do for you if you're selling your home in the Flagstaff area, or if you're buying a home as well. Kelly's got a great team around her. They'll help you out on all this stuff. Call her up right now, Kelly Broaddus, at 888-446-5602. 888-446-5602. Or go get an instant valuation on your home right now and find out more information at northernarizonafinehomes.com.